Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark, appreciate the time as always. And the Brewers slumping, five of their last seven losses. And Mark, you need to help me feel better about this, that seemingly for some reason the Brewers cannot convert runs on the West Coast. There's no sabermetrics for that. But is there a number, a metric showing teams struggling when they go out West like the Brewers seem to always do?
Boy, I haven't looked at that in a while. I remember anecdotally we always used to talk about that when I was with ESPN, that it seemed like, especially I think, like if you were an East Coast team, which the Brewers aren't necessarily, but that there's that like settling in period to the West Coast. This is one where now I'm going to feel like I have to look it up and then tweet it out to you guys so that you can answer it. I would say anecdotally, it's not like that surprising. And you ran into, like yesterday, you ran into a hot rookie pitcher. That happens. The Giants series was weird. You had a chance to beat Bumgarner, and you didn't. To me, what I was looking at just the last 15 minutes or so, it looks like any typical team's bad 4 out of 5, but it happens to a team that wins 95 games. It happens to a team that wins 75 games. I am always the voice of, boy, I wouldn't worry about it too much if I was you.
There you go.
And I will stick with that as hard as I can, and I will also pay tribute to number 15, Cecil Cooper, and number 15, Ben Sheets.
Good.
Perfect. Those work. Those work.
I like both of those players.
No, they're not. They're not Bart Starr. I get it.
But, no, they're not. But, no.
Yeah.
No. This is my thing. So for you stats guy over at Sports Info Solutions, do you guys have a number of games in your mind where you go, once we reach these number of games, this is usually a pretty solid indicator of how this season's going to play out at this point of the year? Because we're coming up on the halfway point already, and guys like Travis Shaw is struggling still. Jesus Aguilar is still struggling. I mean, there are guys still not performing on this Brewers team, and fans are getting antsy coming up on the halfway point. But I just wonder from a stats standpoint if you guys have a magic number that you go off of.
Yeah, so there's actually been a number of studies about that, like when does batting average mean something and when do some of the other things mean something. And like the first things that tend to kind of be like where you'd be like, okay, this is what the guy is, are like strikeouts and walks and things like that. But batting average and swinging percentage and on base can take longer, I think it's fair to say. And there are plenty of guys who are nothing in April who wind up having great years, and you always regret that you cut them if they were on your fantasy team. I think we're getting closer to the point where you can tell certain things from certain people. I think we can tell that Josh Hader's going to be pretty good again and that Yelich is going to be an MVP candidate again. The guys that are kind of in that in-between area, I know that the sample has built up on Aguilar, although maybe he's starting very, very, very slowly to come out of it. I think we're getting closer to, okay, this is what you are at that point. I don't know that we're fully there yet. And I'll even give one more example. Like, I don't know that Grandal is going to keep this up in the second half, except for a catcher who plays such a high amount of games to be that good with the bat for 100 and 120, 130 of them.
And another player would be Lorenzo Cain. I mean, I don't know what his numbers have looked like in the past, but right now he's another player that is in a, I guess, a big slump, underachieving, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Shoot. His 665 OPS kind of snuck up on me, so to speak. I didn't realize that he was he's been going as bad as he has for as long as he has. Mm-hmm. Give me a second. I'm actually looking up something on him as we go. His defense has still been pretty good. We just put him on our defensive all-star team. There's a school of thought with Kane, though, that the numbers that, like, where he's hit the ball and how hard he's hit it, he should have better batting average, like 25, 30 points better.
All right, let's talk about that for a second. So a lot of these stat guys, for those of you that don't, and all these stat guys like our guy here is, believe in you're just kind of unlucky. And sometimes they hit the ball hard and it just doesn't find a hole and gets caught no matter wherever they hit it. And they just have an unlucky half, an unlucky season or whatever. And you're saying that Kane probably fits into that mold right now.
He could, and I think you guys would have probably a better sense of it than I would being more close to the situation. But I'm just looking at, like, if you took, and this could be how defenses are playing him now, that he might be losing hits because defenses are in spots that, like, you wouldn't have expected them to be in because they know how to defend him. But if you look at where he's hit the ball, what kind of ball it was it a line drive, a ground ball, or a fly ball, and how hard he hit it, our numbers for him, it looks like 278 batting average when he's hitting 249 right now. So maybe he's losing some base hits there that maybe he should have. And again, that requires a lot of, that's a very surface level kind of analysis of it. But he's not someone that I would worry about quite just yet.
Yeah, Mark, he had a couple last night. Fernando Tatis Jr. just took two base hits right away from Lokane on balls that were scolded. He fell into the hard hit rate that Ryan Braun had a lot of last year. Talking to Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions here on the Wendy's Big Show. Analytic baseball look at your Milwaukee Brewers. And Mark, as well, too, and then you look at the pitching department. Brandon Woodruff, he wins-wise 8-1 after last night's game, or 8-2 after last night's game when he takes the loss in San Diego. But an ERA over 4, how does Brandon Woodruff stack up as people here are looking at either him or Zach Davies possibly having opportunities at an all-star game, but a 4 ERA, similar on a surface level, that doesn't look like all-star numbers to me.
Right. It's funny, and this is, again, what the sabermetric person would look at it as opposed to, I guess, non-stat guy. The sabermetric person is going to say, "Wow, he's struck out 102 and he's walked 24, so he's 4-1." If you look at the really good pitchers in baseball, a lot of those guys, very high number of those guys, are going to be 4-1 or better. He doesn't give home runs up at an absurd rate. He's led 9 in 87 innings, so his ERA is 4. But there are a lot of circumstances where his ERA could be 3. If things broke right for him here or there. Zach Davies strikes out 5.5 a game. He walks 2.5 a game. That's a 2-1 ratio. That's a hard ratio to survive by unless your defense is the most unbelievable thing or you get out of a lot of runner and scoring position jams, which he's done this year. So his 2-6, a sabermetrician might say that it should be more like a 4.
Yeah, Mark, I love when you're on. I really do. I really get a kick out of this stuff because it just for the.
Are you with me on Woodruff being better than Davies?
Yes, I am.
I think we're all about with you on that.
Yeah, I am. But had you asked me that 2 weeks ago, I don't know. I would have said that. But
okay.
But here's the thing. A lot of people eye test. They don't get into numbers and stuff like that. So that's why we love having you on. Why doesn't the eye test and the numbers match out how many games they should be up or back in a division? Although I think it's a tough division because you tell people in Milwaukee, the team is not playing that great, but they're in first place. How do you square the two?
I think over 162 games, and I think this is true over 16 in the NFL too, that the teams that tend to separate when there are teams that are really close in quality, like the Brewers and the Cubs, essentially, it's stealing something here or there and having a good manager that knew how to do something at a certain point or winning a game on a wild pitch that scores 2 runs in the bottom of the ninth or something wacky like that. I think if you...
if you just look at the Brewers and you look at this recent stretch and you're like, oh, they're not very good. Well, you know what? If you're a Milwaukee Brewers fan, I will trade you. You want to watch the Mets for a week? We'll see a completely you'll see a completely different perspective on whether your team has a good offense, good pitching, good defense. I think sometimes you get very caught up in your own team scenario, but if you look at it more broadly, I think you would feel better.
Yeah, cause you're thinking they got a rookie pitcher. With this lineup, you should win 5-0, or you don't expect in the last stretch of games playing teams that you're better than to lose. And some of these pitchers, I will be honest, and I don't care if you're a football or a baseball guy, for a rookie pitcher to go 7 innings, scoreless innings, how do you feel good about that? But at the end of the day, you're saying, but I'm still up in first place. Do you say, well, you know, I'm not playing my best baseball, but we're still in first place? Do you look at the brighter side of it, or you just try to look into the numbers and see who are slumping and we got to move these guys down or up?
I'm Mr. Brightside with you guys. I think you know that. But I think what you can do is you need to establish what your weaknesses are. Starting pitching is clearly one of them, right? Well, opportunity was there to get the guy, but he went to Atlanta. So now you got to focus on the next guy. And the next guy might be, to come down the aisle, might be Bumgarner. If the Mets were to go into a slump, maybe it's Zach Wheeler. It's go out and get him time, because I think 73 games, you've established that you're going to be in this thing. And I think you should feel good, but you should know what your weaknesses are. Look, Showalter used to always say at ESPN that the most important thing for a GM is to know what you are and not be fooled by it. And I think the Brewers should know that they're a decent team and that they should be in the hunt for this.
Mark, I won't trade watching the Brewers every night for the New York Mets, but if you guys want to do something like Freddie Peralta for Jacob deGrom, I think we can make that work. It would be all right. Would that work out for you?
Yeah.
Mark, I've got another question. Because Baby Tausch brought this up the other day. How does the Mets manager still have a job? Because Baby Tausch doesn't understand.
That's a good question, and that's been a subject of New York talk radio and New York Mets Twitter for a while. He struggled. For whatever reason, he was a hot prospect. The Phillies were going to hire him instead of Gabe Kapler. There was talk before the Mets jumped in and got him. But he struggled with lineups. He struggled with rules. He struggled the acquisition. He's not helped by the fact that the acquisitions that the team made in the offseason, they're in the middle right now of an 11-game road trip that I think will establish whether they will be a contender for the second wild card or not, where they play. They've actually got the Cubs coming up. They're finishing up with the Braves now. I think if they were to go 3-8 or 2-9 on that road trip, I think the manager's chances of coming back with the team might be slim.
Well, I hope that they win all three against the Cubs. And frankly, Mark, I hate to tell you, I don't care whatever any of the results are other than that. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
You got it.
Yeah. That's Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions on the Wendy's Big Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.